Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. So today I am here with WBUR reporter Simone Rios. But we are not talking about news, unless that news is related to the Boston Celtics, who are on fire right now. So let me ask you something, Simone. As of now, the Celtics are at the top of the Eastern Conference. They have 11 wins and 3 losses. What do you think? You think they can keep this going?
Absolutely. I mean, to go on and win 70 games, yeah, why not? They are playing incredible basketball right now. Even when they're not playing well, they somehow figure out a way to turn it around. So yeah, like you said, 11-3, best record in the NBA, right behind the Milwaukee Bucks. There were two losses, two overtime losses in Cleveland. Great team this year, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then a poor performance in Chicago as the three glitches on their record. But yeah, now they're right ahead of the Bucks. And so am I optimistic about this year's Celtics? Absolutely.
Okay. Now, from what I've observed, Jason Tatum is clearly the star on this team. Mm. In fact, he had a really good performance against the Detroit Pistons over the weekend.
Is Tatum even going to come out at this point? Tatum rises over Durant, hits again!
Yeah, so first, Tatum is playing MVP-level basketball. I mean, a lot of people have commented that because he fell short in the NBA Finals earlier this year, that he had a horrible offseason. He was down. Everybody was, you know, what happened, JT? How come you couldn't pull it off? He was only, you know, a young man. Now he's 24.
He was only a young man. Now
yeah,
he's 24.
Still a young man. But he seemed to take that negative energy and turn it into just, I mean, like, I hate to say it, but like Michael Jordan level playing.
He's got a point to prove.
He's averaging 32 points a game almost. Mm. He's number one overall in scoring in the NBA, number three in points per game behind Luka Doncic and your Joel Embiid. According to Sports Illustrated, check this out. If the season were to end today, the Celtics would set a new record for team offensive rating in a season. So that's like through the history of basketball.
That's sick.
Boston now has the NBA best offensive rating of 120.2. That record is now held by the 2021 Brooklyn Nets, who have the record for offensive rating at 118.3. So it's a hot start.
Now, who are the other contributors on the team? It can't be just Jason Tatum by himself, right?
Exactly. I mean, in addition to Tatum, the next one up is Jaylen Brown. Those guys, last time I checked, were the only duo in the league to have 300-plus points each this season. Tatum dropping 30 or more a night, Jaylen dropping, you know, 20 plus a night. It's just unbelievable what those guys are putting on night after night. But what's great about this team is that even when those guys aren't, you know, totally carrying the team on their backs, there's always somebody who's willing to step up. When anybody on that roster can step in and do what's needed, whether it's, you know, rebounds or scoring, you know, I can't not mention Malcolm Brogdon, our new point guard who we got from Indiana. That guy, I remember facing him when he was on Milwaukee, and now he's on our side. Mm-hmm. And he's on the bench now. You have Marcus Smart starting at point guard. Brogdon comes in and just laces him up. And man, that guy, he gets the job done. He's such a tight, efficient player. It was an incredible add this offseason, and it's really showing.
Sounds like a recipe for success, you mm-hmm. know? When you got guys who can just come in and do their thing and put points on the board and keep the momentum going, that's a recipe for success.
Yep.
Now let me ask you something. Who worries you? Who do you not want to see when it comes playoff time, you know?
Well, look, in the East, I always get nervous when it's Milwaukee, when it's Brooklyn, where they have Kyrie and Durant, and the 76ers. I got to say, Joel Embiid is just an absolute monster.
Cooking.
What did he do the other? He put up like 52 points?
59.
Wow.
59 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. And he had a few blocks too, a couple big blocks, I remember.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that's like Tatum and Jaylen all in one.
Yeah.
Yep.
But we're talking Celtics.
That's right. That's right. So back on the rivalry thing, you know, that was the East. You have the Nets and the Heat and the Bucks, who are right behind us in league standings. Mm-hmm. But then out West, you know, the Warriors are the most obvious one because they beat us in the finals. They're actually in 10th place right now in the West.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they care about getting off to a slow start.
Isn't that normal for them?
I don't know about 10th place,
but
I know they often, like, they're not in first place, and then when they really have to,
They turn it on.
But yeah, like out West, you have the Trailblazers in first place, then the Nuggets, Jazz, and the Grizzlies, Ja Morant. So it may not be the Warriors that, if the Celtics do make it to the finals, we face. But yeah, both East and West have some incredible teams going on.
Word. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with more on the Celtics.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So we're talking about the Celtics, who are doing great, but we have to talk about what happened this summer with former coach Ime Udoka.
A little drama there, for sure.
A little, to say the least, mm-hmm. right? You know, they're having this success under this interim coach, Joe Mazzulla. What are your hopes for the next permanent coach? Do you think Mazzulla should stay as a permanent coach, or do you feel like he's just a good placeholder and you want to see someone different in that position?
I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, right before the start of the season, the Celtics come out, suspend Udoka, that was his first season as an NBA head coach, led the team to the finals, and then all of a sudden he's out. I didn't know what that was going to mean. And then this guy, Joe Mazzulla, who I might have heard of once or twice in the past, now he's the head coach, 34 years old. What's going to happen with this team? Are they going to be able to hold it up?
Mm-hmm.
And they have been able to. So Mazzulla is getting a lot of credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just all the players seem to deeply respect him. He's taking timeouts when they have to, making the right subs. He's getting a lot of credit for the team's success. In fact, the Globe published a piece earlier this week saying that Mazzulla should get the top coaching job permanently.
Mm-hmm.
So he's interim now. This is what Gary Washburn wrote. He said, "The Celtics can completely distance themselves from the Udoka era, allow Mazzulla the confidence and peace of mind of knowing this is his job indefinitely, and allow the team to ascend to one that can win title number 18. Mm. So I would say that's a vote of confidence for
Joe
Mazzulla.
Yeah, yeah. Does the team have any sort of timeline for when they'll make that decision for the next permanent coach?
I don't have any update on that, to be honest, but there are still some contractual issues with Udoka. There was talk that he was going to be going to the Brooklyn Nets.
Right.
And then that whole Kyrie Irving anti-Semitic video thing broke out. He was suspended. So the Udoka thing seemed to fade away. But I guess there's still, according to Gary Washburn, there's still some contractual issues that need to be hammered out.
Okay.
So I'm not sure when they actually could bring Mazzulla on full time, but maybe we'll see it happen.
Right on. All right, Simone, this all sounds great. But before we go, I think it's really important for sports fans to savor those moments, you know, when their team is doing good, you know, because you don't know how long it's going to last. So describe to me the energy that you feel and the energy that you feel in the region. What kind of pride are you getting, you know, when you walk outside and people are talking about the Celtics? You know what I mean?
It's weird. I mean, like, when my team's doing really good, it's like, it makes me feel happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not all the time. It's almost like after an election and your candidate wins, it's like the same phenomenon.
Yeah.
I was in Downtown Crossing last night on my way to an event at Suffolk University, and I stopped in this little shop that sells all kinds of, like, Boston paraphernalia, all the sports teams and lobster stuff and bumper stickers. Carl Volker is the name of the guy who runs. He's got three shops in Downtown Crossing, and he's telling me that prices for all this Celtics gear are like up $40 for a T-shirt, hats, everything is like through the roof. So I said, is it affecting sales?
When people want to have a Celtics hat, you get a Celtics hat. You want a Celtics shirt? You know, it's a lot of people, either they buy it when they go to the game or they buy it for a gift.
Do you feel like there's more sales this year than the same time last year, or about the same?
No, it's about the same, I think. We're people are excited about it. You know, that's the kind of, it's the momentum. It's like the vibe is there, you know? The hope, the belief, you know?
Hey, when people are feeling good, they're feeling good. They're going to buy the stuff, right?
Yeah, he knows it. He knows it better than most.
Simone, man, as always, it's an absolute pleasure, man. Thank you so much for coming through. And listen,
anytime, Daryl.
You know, good luck to the Celtics until they play the Sixers. And
let's go to that game. That's the next one in Boston. Me and you are going
I've been slacking on that. That's my fault.
Cool.
But let's do it. Let's do it.
Deal.
That's WBUR reporter Simone Rios. Thanks as always for listening to The Common. And listen, hit us up on Twitter at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. We really look forward to hearing from you. And with that, I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.